I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the local government news roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. On the local government news roundup today, an interim CEO appointed in Victoria, a council CEO stood down in Sydney, and another Queensland CEO departs after the recent elections. Details just ahead. Also today, a major sewage leak may lead to prosecution of Gold Coast City Council, a WA council on notice from the government to clean up its act, and a major UK council issues a warning about Brazilian butt lift procedures. Just some of the many local government stories getting our attention today. Let's round them up now. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy, back with another curated selection of stories from and about councils across Australia and beyond. It's Friday, the 26th of April, 2024. The podcast is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, with registrations being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. Support for the podcast comes from Davidson, nationally recognised for recruitment and business advisory services to local government. And from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Golden Plains Shire Council has appointed an interim CEO to lead the council while a recruitment process is undertaken after the recent resignation of Eric Brasless. Mr. Brasless is heading to the City of Wyndham in a director position. Experienced council CEO and senior executive Michael Tudball, who is also a former mayor and councillor, will serve in the interim CEO position from the 3rd of May until a permanent appointment is made to the position. Glen Eyre City Council in Melbourne South East is considering a local law that would require residents to obtain a permit before pruning or removing trees of a certain height on their properties. The Age has reported on mixed reactions to the proposed law, which is aimed at protecting and increasing tree canopy. The council will vote on the proposal on September the 3rd. The state government has announced a $400 million package to support infrastructure in Melbourne's rapidly growing suburbs. The package includes new schools, health services, public transport and road upgrades, including a $60 million road link in Werribee, a $35 million school in Cobblebank, and more than $150 million for new bus services across the city. The funding comes from the Growth Areas Infrastructure Contribution Fund, which has already delivered over $685 million worth of initiatives in Melbourne's growth areas. Greater Geelong Council has voted to implement a 24-hour cat curfew, confining cats to their owners' property at all times. Bay 93.9 FM reported that the decision was split 5-5 and decided on the vote of Mayor Trent Sullivan. The curfew will come into effect in November this year and will be reviewed after 1 year. The Local Government Performance Reporting Steering Committee is reviewing the annual Community Satisfaction Survey, coordinated by Local Government Victoria. Concerns have been raised within the sector about the methodology and products offered. The review is seeking advice on the survey's function, optimal data collection methods, products offered, and best value for money delivery options. The Victorian government has decided not to proceed with the valuation averaging mechanism for mitigating property valuation fluctuations affecting annual rates. The decision was based on stakeholder feedback, highlighting concerns about the complexity of the current rating system and a belief that a VAM would add further complexities without effectively addressing rate volatility. The VAM was one of 56 recommendations from a review of the rating system that reported to the minister in 2020. La Trobe City Council has reaffirmed its support for the Japanese hydrogen energy supply chain project, noting its potential significant economic impact on the region. The project has been under development for 10 years and has received a $2.35 billion grant from Japan's Green Innovation Fund. It aims to build a hydrogen liquefaction and loading terminal at the Port of Hastings and a brown coal gasification plant at Loy Yang A, employing up to 1,000 people at full capacity. The La Trobe Valley Express has reported on the Council's advocacy to government and the community for support for the project, which is expected to commence construction around 2028. Mansfield Shire Council is seeking community feedback on proposed new gravel road cycling routes on existing roads in the Shire. The network proposed by Tourism North East includes 7 routes and 3 hubs for information and repair stations, with no changes to existing road surfaces but new signage for safety. The initiative aims to inform cyclists of road conditions and potential hazards. Feedback on the proposed routes can be submitted on the Mansfield Shire Council website until the 30th of April. And the inaugural Ballarat Marathon is set to take place this weekend, with over 4,000 participants signed up. The event includes a marathon, half marathon and other races, and is expected to inject more than $1 million into the Ballarat economy. Local businesses are preparing for an influx of visitors, and the event has already raised tens of thousands of dollars for charity. Briefly in other news, the City of Greater Geelong is seeking feedback on draft nature strip guidelines, aiming to provide residents with guidance for creating sustainable nature strip gardens. The new guidance promotes biodiversity and public safety. It covers topics such as planting locations, plant choices, surface materials, and public safety considerations. Greater Shepparton City Council has agreed to lease the Westside Performing Arts Centre in Maroopna from the Department of Education for $1 per year for 20 years, with an option for an additional 10 years. The venue, managed by Riverlinks since the early 2000s, is used by schools, performers and for big-name productions. Gannawarra Shire Council is seeking public feedback on the draft Gannawarra Shire On-Site Wastewater Management Plan, which outlines the Council's obligations to prevent public health risks and environmental contamination from domestic wastewater disposal. Feedback received before 5 p.m. on the 16th of May will contribute to the final version of the plan. And the City of Greater Bendigo is inviting public feedback on its draft Good Governance Framework, which outlines what good governance is, how it will be applied, its vision, the importance of leadership, culture and respect, and the City's principles of good governance. The framework proposes 7 key principles, and feedback collected will inform the final draft. This is the Local Government News Roundup, episode number 328, recorded on the morning of Friday the 26th of April, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, with support from Davidson Recruitment and Business Advisory Services. I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the Local Government News Roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Now for our national roundup in this edition of the program, and let's see if we can unpack what's been happening at Liverpool Council over recent days and weeks. The council CEO there, John Ajaka, has been stood down with pay pending an independent inquiry, despite an attempt by Mayor Ned Mannoon to terminate his contract. According to the Daily Telegraph, the move followed a heated budget meeting in which Mr. Ajaka is alleged to have sworn at the mayor and refused to retract his comments. The council will also investigate allegations of offensive, racist and religious chants made when union members rallied in support of the CEO and against the mayor this week. Police were called when union members refused to leave a meeting which was meant to be a confidential session of the council. The drama was preceded earlier in the day by a public statement issued by three councillors, Karishma Kaliander, Dr. Betty Green and Peter Hall, in which they questioned the competence of Mayor Ned Mannoon. They raised concerns over his plans to implement staff cuts, including the dismissal of the CEO, to fund a $50 million pool project in the Holsworthy electorate. They said the move to end Mr. Ajaka's contract early could cost ratepayers hundreds of thousands of dollars and rob the Liverpool community of an effective decision maker at a time when the community desperately needs strong and stable leadership. And they described the suggestion of job cuts as bizarre. In a related development, current Leppington MP Nathan Haggerty has been called on to retract comments that he made recently under parliamentary privilege, expressing grave concerns about the council's political independence under current management. He says he stands by his comments and that the council's pattern of hiring is cause for concern. Mr. Ajaka is a former Liberal Upper House MP and government minister until his retirement from the parliament in 2021. He was appointed CEO of Liverpool Council in late 2022. The council's operations director, Jason Breton, has been appointed as acting CEO during the period of Mr. Ajaka's suspension. And that's not all from Liverpool. The Daily Telegraph has reported that councillors have passed a motion to potentially cover Mayor Ned Mannoon's legal expenses up to $50,000 following a defamation complaint by community campaigner Michael Angelovich. Angelovich alleges that the mayor caused serious harm to his reputation following comments made at a community forum. While Mayor Mannoon has not yet accrued any legal expenses, any potential costs would be subject to council approval and could be reduced by any recoupment following legal proceedings. Let's go to Queensland, where Cairns Regional Council's Chief Executive Micah Martin has resigned this week. Her resignation was accepted by the council at a special meeting on Wednesday afternoon. A report proposing CEO recruitment arrangements will be tabled at the upcoming ordinary council meeting on the 1st of May. The Cairns Post reported that the resignation was imminent earlier in the day after speculation that Ms. Martin's relationship with new Mayor Councillor Amy Eden was untenable. It's the fifth resignation of a council CEO in Queensland since the March elections, following Maranoa, Bundaberg, Brisbane and Townsville. Gold Coast City Council is under investigation by the Queensland State Government following a spill of over 400 million litres of raw sewage into the Albert River. ABC News reported that the spill, equivalent to about 160 Olympic swimming pools, was caused by a broken pipe that may have been leaking since January. The council, labelled as the polluter by the relevant government department, is responsible for testing and monitoring the Albert River and could face prosecution for serious offences. Sunshine Coast Mayor Rosanna Natoli has expressed support for the construction of an Olympic venue that will necessitate the relocation of two rugby league clubs, according to the Sunshine Coast News. Despite concerns from the Kawana Dolphins juniors and seniors about the survival of their clubs post-relocation, the new mayor maintains the new venue will provide significant economic and social benefits to the region. The Kawana Sports Precinct was identified as the only site meeting all requirements to host the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Mayor Natoli will represent the Sunshine Coast at the Paris 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games later this year to gain insights into hosting such a large-scale event. The mayor's visit will focus on transport requirements, community impact, the cultural Olympiad, and local business opportunities. The council says the knowledge gained will be crucial for the Sunshine Coast's role as a Games delivery partner and co-host city for the Brisbane 2032 Olympic and Paralympic Games. In Western Australia, a vote of no confidence against Councillor Adrian McRae at Port Hedland, who endorsed the Russian election on national TV, has failed in a special council meeting, according to a report from ABC News. Councillor McRae's comments stirred controversy, particularly among Port Hedland's Ukrainian and Eastern European community. He's defended his actions and says he wanted to see how a world superpower runs its elections. The council called for more cohesion among elected members following the failed vote. And they may have done that because the Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries in WA has issued a letter of concern to the council, citing issues such as a lack of cohesion among councillors and inappropriate use of social media. The council has been asked to develop an improvement plan to address the issues. This comes after a series of controversies, including allegations of councillors breaching the councillor code of conduct. The council has voted in favour of developing the improvement plan, with the final outcome to be voted on in a council meeting in July. More news in brief. Byron Shire Council has prepared a new litter and illegal dumping prevention strategy, which aims to reduce litter by 40% over the next 5 years. The council spends approximately $1.4 million annually on litter cleanup. Public feedback on the strategy is invited until the 19th of May. Applications are being taken for the CEO position at South Australia's town of Gawler. Andrew Goodsell has been acting in the position since earlier this year after the departure of Henry Einat ahead of his contract expiry in June. Perks People Solutions is handling the recruitment process, with applications closing on the 24th of May. Meanwhile, Mills Recruitment is handling applications for the CEO role at WA's Shire of Donnybrook-Ballingup, which is 213 kilometres southwest of Perth. The Shire returned to elected councillors late last year after a short period of administration. It appointed Gary Hunt as a temporary CEO while the new council was onboarded. Monday the 13th of May is the closing date for applications. And the City of Busselton has partnered with Guide Dogs WA to support the first ever guide and assistance dogs training in the southwest. Two dogs, Louie and Thea, will be boarded for approximately 8 months by three city staff members who volunteered to be bed and breakfast boarders. The initiative is part of the city's efforts to support disability access and inclusion initiatives. I'll have that Brazilian butt lift story for you in a moment on the International Spotlight, but first a word from the Victorian Local Governance Association, which stands ready to support communities and councils in good governance as councils prepare to go to elections later this year. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. And registrations are being taken now for workshops next month on standing for local government and local women leading change. You can find out more and register for those sessions on the VLGA's website. Just head to vlga.org.au. Heading the international spotlight today, residents in the city of Edinburgh are being urged to contact the city council if they've booked a Brazilian butt lift procedure in the city this weekend. The council has become aware through social media activity that BBL operations may be taking place across 3 days, and it has concerns about safety and potential health risks. Other local authorities have received complaints about serious health complications, such as sepsis, from similar procedures recently. New planning powers are coming into effect in the UK, giving local councils greater tools to hold developers accountable. The powers include stronger enforcement measures against landowners who repeatedly break planning rules, the ability to issue unlimited fines, and extended enforcement limits. The Act also requires developers to contribute to vital infrastructure and encourages them to build more homes. A funding boost of £29 million has been provided to councils to tackle backlogs and upskill the sector, along with an increase in planning fees for applications. Nearly 10,000 council staff in England are on long-term sick leave, a number that has increased by a fifth since 2019, according to the Liberal Democrats. BBC News has reported the party's claims that 6 in 10 councils have seen a rise in long-term sick leave numbers. The claims come as 107 local councils across England prepare to go to elections on the 2nd of May. Sheffield City Council is under pressure to prevent a loss of the World Snooker Championships to a new home after nearly 60 years in the city. Organisers say a new venue is needed as the event has outgrown its traditional home, the Crucible, which has a capacity of just 980 seats. GB News reported that the council has responded, affirming the city's status as the home of snooker and expressing a commitment to maintaining the city's sporting legacy. In Canada, Toronto City Council has approved new rules to improve apartment safety and enforce maintenance standards. CBC News has reported that the city will increase the number of inspections, increase fees for non-compliant owners, and provide more publicly available data about building conditions. All buildings will now be evaluated every 2 years instead of three, and poor evaluations will trigger targeted enforcement. An Ottawa resident has used AI software to create a searchable website that collates hundreds of activities from the City of Ottawa's schedules. CBC News reported that the tool has been well received by users, with daily visits nearing 1,000, but it's not been embraced by the city itself. Claudie LaRouche says she created the tool out of frustration from having to search multiple schedules to find available pool lanes for swimming. She's not interested in monetizing the tool and has offered it to the city, but she's been told the code was incompatible with their web technology. And finally, in New York, rat problems persist in the city, which last year appointed a rat czar to combat the issue. The city has seen a rise in cases of leptospirosis, a rare disease linked to rat urine, particularly among sanitation workers, according to USA Today. In 2023, the city reported 24 cases, the highest number in any year, and six cases have already been reported this year. The disease can lead to kidney failure, meningitis, liver damage, and respiratory distress, and is most likely to be contracted through contact with areas where infected rats have urinated. The Sanitation Workers Union is backing a state bill that would provide benefits to employees and their families if they become disabled or die from the disease. And that's the roundup for today, Friday, the 26th of April. Now, come on, where else are you going to hear about CEOs departing, CEOs being suspended, rat urine and Brazilian butt lift procedures? All on the one podcast. You don't need to go anywhere else for your council news. The program is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and from Ventia. You can find the links to the stories referenced in today's episode on our website, lgnewsroundup.com. And you can check out how you can become a subscriber to support the Roundup while you're at the website. A small monthly contribution is all that's required, and you can cancel that at any time. The Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. Thanks for listening. I'll be back with more very soon. Bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner.